Grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. The season of Epiphany is rightly associated with light, the revelation of the light of Christ come into a dark world of sin. But in this particular season that we've just began, this church year, there's a very heavy focus in the previous three Sundays of God's voice being a part of the Epiphany season. We have, for example, at the baptism of our Lord Jesus, where God declares, one of those few times in the New Testament where God speaks directly, where God says, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." Okay? And then, of course, the next week we had the calling of Samuel, when God's voice calls Samuel's name in the night, and Samuel in due course responds. And then, of course, this week and last week, we also had Jesus calling, the voice of God calling his disciples. First, last week it was Philip and Nathanael. Today we have Simon and Andrew. And so voice is quite a strong, prominent part of our Epiphany readings for this year. Hence the reason that I've chosen to call today's sermon address Following God's Voice. And as you'll notice, it's from the Old Testament reading of Jonah. Book of Jonah, I'm sure, reminds us of our Sunday school days when we all learnt about and heard for the first time of Jonah and the whale. Although I understand it's politically correct now to say that it's Jonah and the big fish. According to my memory, a whale is a big fish. But this morning's verses don't talk about that particular event in Jonah's life. Rather, it follows on from Jonah's release from the belly of the fish. Just to recap, you might recall that Jonah had been called God to be a prophetic message to the people in the city of Nineveh. And his message was short and sharp and to the point. And I quote, it said, "In 40 days more, Nineveh will be overturned." And if you know, you mightn't understand what overturned means, but the Ninevites knew what it meant. That meant they were going to have the stuffing knocked out of them. They were going to be thrashed. They would be destroyed. Overturned was total destruction. As I said, the message is brief, it's to the point. It's a pretty short sermon, isn't it? But make no mistake, the people of Nineveh knew exactly what Jonah was telling them. For this was not the first time that the Assyrians had encountered the God of Israel. And one of the things I'd like to share with you this morning is we are talking about an event which took place some 3,000 years ago, about 2,800 years ago, according to the calendar. And here we are today reflecting back on that. And I want to hope make the transition that although this word of God took place some 3,000 years ago, it is truly relevant for you and I right here today. This is not just a walk down memory lane of Sunday school lessons, but this is speaking to us today, intending to speak to us today, as it spoke to the Ninevites 3,000 years ago. As I said, the Assyrians knew that this was fair dinkum. There's no question about it. Was not the first time that God had called Jonah to be a messenger. We often think this is the only thing that Jonah did. But he was actually a prophet of God for some 20-25 years. And earlier on, in the second book of Kings, chapter 14 and verse 24, we see that God had called Jonah to go and preach to King Jeroboam II. He was the current king of the people of Israel at this day. So Jonah first time, he was sent off to the king of Israel. And he was sent off to the king of Israel to encourage the king of Israel to take back the land that the Assyrians had taken from them in the past years, to take it back and reclaim it as part of the promised land that God had given them. And what's more, Jeroboam did it, and they repossessed the land that had been taken away from them. So the Ninevites The Assyrian people knew only too well about the God of Israel and what he was able, what God was able to accomplish. And also you need to keep in mind that Jonah, this is not the first time that Jonah has experienced God's word, God's call to go and do something, to go and be prophetic. No, he's an old hand at this. And so Jonah knew and had experienced God's calling before and knew that God's word will always accomplish what he says. That's what we need to hold on to. But this time things are a bit different. It's not amongst the local people that Jonah is being sent. It's not a bunch of friendly Israelites that he's being sent, the king. No, God wants Jonah to go into the belly of the tiger, the heart of the Assyrian people. That's where he wants him to go. The worst place you could ever want to go as a Jew. And of course, Jonah had a stack of reasons as to why he didn't want to go. All good, legitimate, thought-out reasons. Firstly, Nineveh was no place for a God-fearing Jew to go, as it was an evil and a corrupt city of idol worships, with cruel and immoral acts against all humanity. It is said that when they took slaves from conquering people, they would put, fishers on the menu today, fish hooks through their lips and tie them to the next person so that they would not run away. Mind you, I don't think we've improved much in our behaviour to humanity if we watch what goes on around the world today. But this is a terrible place to go to. These are terrible. It was the centre of the Assyrian Empire at the time, which had fiercely and brutally conquered many parts of Israel before. And furthermore, these evil people, they were Gentiles. They were Gentiles. And they were not worthy in any shape or form, so the thinking was at the time, of God, of the God of Israel's grace and mercy. You see, at that particular time, the religious thinkers were starting to be inward thinking and thought that it was that God was their God, that these Gentiles were not worthy of God's love. And so the thought of embracing idol worshipping Gentiles was far from a reality. They reasoned that had not Almighty God chosen and called them to worship the one true God? Yes, was their answer. And so it was they decided that their God was their God and they weren't sharing God with anyone. Had forgotten that in loving them and choosing them to be his people, God had also called them, the Israelites, to be witnesses to the world of his love for all the world. We have a wonderful and a marvellous God that we worship, a God who knows us better than we know ourselves. And the beautiful thing about God's word, spoken, as I said, 3,000 years ago to Jonah and echoed again here today, it is the same word of power and might that speaks to us today. This is the beauty of God's word. It is ageless. It is a word for all seasons, for all people. It never has a use-by date. And it always applies to the here and now. And when I say I see God's word acting in the lives of people today, as it did in the times of Jews, I don't mean in a strict judgmental way, but rather that it is easy for us to see the response in the lives of God's chosen people to his word. The response to God's word. You see, there are still today Christian Jonahs who would choose to ignore God's word, to God's call to give witness to Jesus to the rest of the world, that world which we might call modern-day Gentiles. And it's so easy to fall into the trap, as did the Jews, of putting our conditions first, of putting up barriers, dare I say, obstacles as to what we think is right and wrong, what is good and proper, all in the name of religion, all in keeping the faith. But in doing so, sadly, we may hinder and hobble the gospel. Maybe too many people today think like Jonah, and so it's easier to run away, or perhaps the modern day equivalent is to let somebody else do the witnessing. But remember, when time comes and we stand before our Lord Jesus, He will not ask you what others did in witnessing their faith. He will ask you what you did. And he most certainly will ask me what I did. But let's get back to our reading. Jonah, having repented of his disobedience of God from within the belly of the fish, is set free. And so Jonah sets out for Nineveh. And eventually he arrives and he declares to them the very message that God had given him right from word go. Wasn't a new message. It was the same message to the same people, same circumstances. Jonah enters Nineveh. And for 3 days, he says to them, in 40 days more, Nineveh will be overturned, destroyed. And his message brings about a change. Now, you need to keep in mind, this is a city of 120,000 people. I guess you can pick a Geelong. I think Geelong might be a bit bigger than that. Or a Ballarat. A city of that size. And it brings about a change from the lowly of the peasants to the king himself, that they should repent of their evil ways. 120,000 plus people. Sounds like a good TV series, doesn't it? Or a movie. But this is reality. This is the word of God in action. The king of Nineveh said, and I quote, "Do not let any person or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let every person and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone urgently call on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn his anger so that we will not perish." A whole city changed by this word of God. You see, the Ninevites knew this God of Israel, as I've mentioned. They had encountered him before. And they knew the might and the power of Almighty God, this God of the Israelites. Wouldn't happen today, would it? I reckon if I started off at the edge of Ballarat and spent 3 years, probably with little result. A whole city changed in a moment. Well, around about, I think it's a bit over a week ago, a whole city did change within a moment. A whole city. Thousands, hundreds of thousands, I don't know how many people. I think it was in Honolulu. Okay? The message went out that a missile was coming. The sirens went off. I know some idiot had pressed the wrong button, apparently. But the siren went off. And every person in that city put into action their plan of survival. Everyone. The mind boggles just to think about it. Now, they didn't have 40 days to think about it, mind you. They had, I don't know, 40 minutes, perhaps. Why did they do that? Why did they do that? Well, like the Ninevites, they knew that missiles are a reality. They knew that more nuclear missiles abound more than ever. They knew they were within range of the missiles. And they also knew that there were some fruitcakes out there in charge of those missiles. So they had every reason to act on this message and seek shelter. The whole city changed. So it was with the Ninevites. They didn't have sirens. They didn't have mobile phone apps or warnings. They had word of mouth. And it spread like wildfire. And as just as we, those people in Honolulu, were as sure that a missile was coming, because they knew what lay behind that missile, so too the Ninevites knew what lay behind the message that Jonah brought. I sometimes wonder if the leaders of our world in many varied countries, our own included perhaps, were given such a message, how would have that changed the course of history? Would it or would it not? To see people everywhere, great and lowly, repenting and seeking God's mercy. I would imagine in Honolulu was more than a share of quota of prayers went up to God too. People may have found their dormant Christian faith all of a sudden in response to the message. Would it happen at Mount Barker? Is it only a pipe dream? Well, God has sent his messenger to us sent his messenger to Bethlehem, and then sent him out to the highways and the byways of this world, preaching to the high and the humble, to the healthy and the sick, to the young and the elderly, to the slave and the free, bringing a message of salvation for everyone, both Jew and Gentile. And for 3 days, the world would have to wait and see if this messenger was the real deal. For 3 days, the world waited, just as Jonah waited for 3 days in the belly of the whale. You see, the greatest messenger God could ever send was his son, our Lord Jesus. And it is Jesus who is calling you and I this morning, just as Jonah called out to the Ninevites, calling us first through our baptism, then calling us again through word and sacrament, calling us to follow God's voice, his voice in Jesus, who in turn says to you and I, follow me. I guess it's easy, maybe even very human, to be imitators of Jonah and run away, to avoid God's voice, to ignore God's voice, to do our own thing, even when we think and convince ourselves that we're doing God's thing. But as Christians, we are called to be imitators of Christ. We are called to be light in the dark. We are called to be his voice in the silence of sin. Jonah was able to turn 180 degrees from running away from Nineveh, away from God, to running back to God. Because Jonah repented of his sin and placed his life in the eternity of the mercy of God. Mind you, Jonah had to spend 3 days in the belly of a whale before he realized the depth of his sin and rebellion. Something which I pray God does not need for you and I to take before we recognize the depth of his grace and mercy. The story of Jonah is the story of God continuing to call his people even when our responses are null and void. It is a struggle that relates to the Epiphany season. That merciful light of God which shone on Nineveh still shines on you and I and will continue to shine to eternity. We can hide from it, as did Jonah, but it shines nonetheless. It shines in the deepest, darkest places that you can imagine, even in the belly of a fish. The book of Jonah has a sad ending, in that despite the grace and mercy extended to Jonah by God, Jonah is bitter because God also extended his mercy to the people of Nineveh. But surely this reminds us that no matter what we feel, think, or do about following God's voice, whether we run away from God or run to God, ultimately God's voice will be heard and will accomplish that which it has spoken. Is there any good news in our Old Testament reading this morning? Well, there is. Verse 10. Verse 10 says, when God saw what they, that is the Ninevites, did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion, and he did not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. Now, before I close, I've got some homework for you to do. Won't take you long. 15, 20 minutes. I want you to sit down and read. It's a hot day. You've got nothing better to do. I want you to sit down and read the book of Jonah. But as you read it, I want you to take Jonah's name out and verbalise your own name in the reading as you go through it. And I guarantee, as that unfolds to you, placing yourself in Jonah's shoes, that you will realise how real and how present and how true is the Word of God, enacted 3,000 years ago, but still so much of the world today. That's your homework. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may God enable you not only to hear his voice, not only to follow his voice, but also to be his voice as you witness the gospel. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.